Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
What is up, Orange County? I'm a lot more energized right now, right?
Boy, the Rad Life is back on the air.
I was still energized, but you know, I needed, you know, for 4 years I've been doing the show.
Yeah.
And because of Taskmaster Paul Roberts, who basically chains me to my desk every Wednesday, 12 to 1.
Yeah.
And I hate it. I hate it so much. Can't you tell I hate it? Okay. All right. But really, you know, after 4 years, this Energizer Bunny needed a little recharge. So I took a month off. And, you know, I had a lot of personal stuff happen in that month. I mean, I'm thinking I'm taking my month off. So here's my advice to everybody who's thinking of taking a month off. Don't.
Don't do it.
Because
you never know.
Because as somebody told me a couple of days ago, and it's the perfect analogy, you know, like how people will tell you, you know, shit happens or, you know, life happens when you make plans, blah, 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 right? Now, this is my favorite, okay? Somebody said to me, life is in session.
Oh, I never heard that
like
one before.
That. Okay. Life is in session.
Never heard that.
So whenever you think your plate is full and you think you're going to take some time off, I'm all for, by the way, balance. So don't get me wrong, right? But ironically, you know, that karmic irony of life, right? Mm-hmm. I take a month off and all kinds of stuff. And it was actually amazing that my last guest on the air in July was Anne Gray from Alzheimer's Association, Orange County Chapter. And we had talked about dementia. And I opened up and I talked about what the struggles we're dealing with my dad and my mom. And, you know, and it just compounded in August. Okay, and I keep telling people that this show for me for the last 4 years has been really a journey, okay, and that we really go places where we as individuals don't usually talk about stuff. We don't deal with things the way it is, and this is sort of a very fair and open platform, and we get vulnerable, and we get courageous, and we delve deeply into stuff.
And you get real.
And we get real. And so it was a good thing to have that show. And ironically, being the last show before we took the break, because in the month of August, I internally referred back to that show and something I said on the air relevant to caregiving, and it was not scripted, which a lot of our show is not scripted. This is not scripted if you haven't figured it out yet, right? But basically, I had said to Anne Gray, I said, and I was in the moment of like downloading stuff very personally relevant to my dad, and I said, you know, caregiving for a family member, it's kind of like the job you never wanted. You really never wanted. But it's the one you hope you never stop doing. And I kept going back to that over the month of August, right? And the new normal. Mm. That this is not something where you, when you're facing challenges, it's not something that you're going to do as a to-do list or a ticket-off item or something, that there is stuff that happens after. And in the case of caregiving, it's something that's the new normal. It's going to be a normal. Paul will tell you from personal experiences, it's the new normal. And Paul, let me just finish my thought. I know you're looking to weigh in here. But the other thing, too, is, and this I'm going to bring this relevant to our conversation today, and my guest today is Jackson Hinkle, who's running for city council in San Clemente again.
Yes.
Right? And for all those who are saying Jackson is too young, you tell me how many times you got under your belt running for city council.
How many times?
No, not you. I know. You already have one time running under your belt, and
there
you're doing
go.
It for the second time.
Yeah.
So anybody who's out there basically kvetching about the fact that you're too young and inexperienced, you tell me how many experiences you have running for city council before you throw that stone. And we're going to start there. And it's not because I'm endorsing Jackson, okay? Because I just want some new blood. I want some new thinking. I want something a little bit different, right? We just kind of had an election of that where we voted in Donald Trump because of the same reasons. Okay, we're kind of sick and tired of the same baloney, right? And whether you are 50 or you're 70 or you're 15 or you're 20, on this show we know because we've sat enough down with enough people. Age is nothing but a number. It is no measure of experience, okay? because your experience could be shit and you've had it for 25 years. And I'm sorry, but you know what? We're not stepping away from controversy on this show. I'm coming back. We're in election season. Last election cycle, we had people on, and I'm very grateful for all my guests, and they were across the gamut, across the board, okay, from people running for Congress, from people running for city council, which, by the way, is not a party-affiliated situation, by the way, just in case you guys are a little bit leaning one way or the other. City council is supposed to be non-party partisan, okay? So maybe stick to that. Okay, but we had people running for school district. We had people who are, you know, going on boards for nonprofits. And out of the people running for elected positions, we had a dozen people, of which eight people got elected to office.
Wow.
Yeah. So I really want to thank every single one of them that came in and spent the time, because I learned a lot. And we plan to do the same thing in this coming cycle. And we're starting off with Jackson. Jackson, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me on.
Right?
Again.
Yeah. And so for those who are not familiar with Jackson, we'll just recap really quick. And then I'm going to give Paul a minute later. Paul, sorry, let's come back to that, okay? But I'm kind of on a roll. Yeah, he's signaling me. Okay, he's like, you're not on a roll. Move faster. Okay, I'm moving faster. All right. So Jackson came on last election cycle. And it was really an interesting concept and an interesting approach. He was leading an effort to cultivate interest in people that are in students. And you had people that were high school, mm-hmm. that were of age where they could run. And you had people that were actually in college.
Yeah.
Like Saddleback.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Gentleman's name?
Mahmoud Alfara.
Mahmoud Alfara.
Yeah, we had a
right.
few.
Yeah. And so we had, and they even set up an entity called, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but it wasn't Orange County Students for City Council?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And how many seats did you guys identify were up for grabs in that election cycle?
Last election cycle, I think it was 96.
96 seats.
We had five candidates, I believe.
Across how many cities?
I think it was four cities.
Yeah.
And then had a bunch of close races, and Manuel Chavez ended up taking a seat up in Costa Mesa.
Yeah.
And then, as you very well know, Jake and I got about 3% away from winning in San Clemente.
Yeah, you guys got pretty close. Mm-hmm. I mean, for anybody who's basically, and I was very interested in that, because here was something that was out of the box. Here were people that were engaged and interested in being of service. And in many cases, for those who talk about lack of experience or record or resume depth, this gentleman sitting in front of me actually has done a lot. In his role, environmental club in San Clemente, with San Onofre. Okay, he has a standing. And again, for anybody who's going to throw that rock about lack of experience, you tell me how many times you've run for city council. How many times you've actually led an effort to have multiple candidates across multiple cities, okay, run for city council or any elected official. I mean, PTA, how many times did you arrange for five people to run for PTA, in four cities? Okay. Heck, AYSO mm-hmm. leadership position or coaching. How many times have you led that effort? Because here's the thing. It's really easy, and we have become this country, this culture of personalities. Okay. This culture of personalities where we basically don't look. We just make an assumption, and then we go and talk to everybody in our bubble so that we can hear the reasons why we should hold onto that assumption, whether it is based in facts or not. Well, who the heck are you doing favor to? Yourself? You're living in ignorance, okay? So maybe, regardless what your position is, if you genuinely have strength in your position, in your faith in your position, then open yourself up to other points of view. Because if you open yourself to other points of view and you are tested and you still hold true to your faith and your position, guess what? That means you really have a strong position. Mm-hmm. If you cannot withstand a slight onslaught of an opposing point of view, then guess what? You have a very weak position.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Paul.
I just wanted to say welcome back.
Oh.
And where have you been?
Yeah, welcome back.
Wow.
Right.
We've missed this.
So with that being said, what the heck are you doing running for city council again? Didn't you get enough of a thrashing last time?
There's enough of a movement in San Clemente behind this campaign, and it's not just, me that's saying I want to run. It's a movement of people saying that.
Wait, you got people telling you to run?
We need leadership. We need real leadership in this town, and we need someone who's going to stick up for residents. And who's going to make a point to choose residents over
outside
interests.
Yeah, yeah, Jackson. Everybody comes on here and says, I'm for the residents. I'm basically there basically because, you know, the current leadership, you know, it's like a friggin', I'm sitting on the bench and I got, you know, the first stringers are basically in the field and I need to get on there. So I got to find reasons to kvetch against the people sitting in the chairs. And I'm not pointing at you personally, but I find it to be genuinely disingenuous and very disruptive and very stupid that every single cycle I see this pattern happen. Fill in the blank with whatever name and whatever leaning you want, okay?
Well, I'll back it up. Okay. So ask any other city council candidate in San Clemente or for any office, I think you should everyone should be asking this question. Who are you taking money from? Because that's what it comes down to. Who's funding your campaign? If from day one you make a promise to say, I'm not going to take money from out of town developers,
right,
from corporate entities, from, the TCA or any of their support or their friends' support, anyone in the Lincoln Club, anyone like that, then I think that you are truthful. You actually are going to be standing up for residents. If you're funded by, you know, individual contributions from residents just adding up and that's how you fund your campaign, then by all means, say that you're sticking up for residents. But
so who's funding your campaign?
Residents.
Okay.
Residents. Yeah.
And for those who don't know and weren't there, we had a rally at Saddleback College a number of years ago when we first really hunkered down and we're dealing with the TCA and the Transportation Corridor Authority and their attempt to run a 241 extension down through San Clemente. And this gentleman in front of me, who's lacking experience, genuinely, I mean, the guy just has nothing going for him, really, right? He shows up with a surfboard and the marching band from the high school, right?
Yeah.
And basically rallies a whole bunch of people. He wasn't the only one, but he was definitely a part of that leadership effort to bring in a lot of people. Michelle Schumacher was there. Ava O'Keefe was there. It's fascinating to me that people that were standing shoulder to shoulder on the issue of the TCA and know from firsthand experience that Jackson was there leading in part with other people the effort to stop this from going through San Clemente are some of the same people that are now finding fault with him and telling and saying loudly on social media that he has no experience. Seriously? Would you like the footage or the photos? I think he's still got the surfboard too. Should we dig that one up too?
We do still have that.
There's a good shot, actually. I think wasn't there like a gas mask and a surfboard and glasses too?
Because we were talking about
bullhorn.
The air quality and
but, you know,
the water quality.
The only people who carry bullhorns are socialists. I mean, you're just like it's like a socialist, right? I mean, I hear you're a socialist that you're supportive of prostitution, right? Well, Paul was telling me when he found out who was coming over. What did you say you had heard about him?
I've heard this rumor. I hate to give credence to wild rumors, but I've heard this now several times on social media that he's a practicing cannibal.
Oh, that's the new one.
Yeah. Fine young cannibals. That's what they call them.
Really? You got to throw in some old music too? Well, if you're going to do that, show us some tunes when you do that. But no, right. Seriously? Okay. Why don't we look at the other stuff? So with that in mind, Jackson, what is your friggin' resume?
My resume is I've been working on the issues that matter most longer than any other candidate.
What issues?
San Onofre. I have worked to develop a plan to get the waste out of San Onofre and out of off our beach, off our coastline. I've briefed members of the United States Congress on the issue. I've met with countless senators, congresspeople, state representatives.
Weren't you like the only one to show up at a friggin' meeting recently?
I was the only one showing up to two meetings. There was a Nuclear Regulatory Commission meeting, and there was a community engagement panel meeting.
Did anybody who was sitting on council show up for that?
There was a bit of a mix-up and at the community engagement panel meeting due to the fact that there was a conversation over who was going to fill Steve's position, our late mayor.
Mm-hmm.
So
God rest his soul.
Yeah. So that it's totally understandable that no one could show up to that because he did.
But did anybody running for? I mean, that would be an official representation. So I get that, right? And Steve Schwartz was a friend.
Yeah.
And again, condolences to the family.
And
very much
I should also say
community.
he was a strong voice on that panel.
I know Steve. Steve was very fair. We didn't agree on everything, but I considered Steve a friend. And Steve was always fair.
Mm-hmm.
He was definitely opinionated on his on things that he believed in, but he was a strong voice on that panel. Did you have anybody, again, I'm repeating the question very clearly, do you did was anybody else running for city council in San Clemente on such a critical issue that affects everybody, not only in San Clemente, but basically that thing implodes and everything up to Long Beach and down to San Diego is affected, and out to Catalina probably, right? Did anybody running for city council show up at that meeting?
No.
And there was there any reason they wouldn't be able to show up? I mean, the city representation, I get it. It was unclear.
I couldn't tell you that.
But there,
I mean,
the answer is no.
No. There were no other big meetings happening to my knowledge.
And what were some of the topics that were discussed in that meeting, Jackson?
I mean, we talked about everything from making sure that we have a radiation monitor on site at all times, that we have an NRC regulator on site to oversee the fuel loading of nuclear waste. And then we had discussions about how we're going to work to get that waste out of the beach from San Onofre.
Where are we at with, for those who don't know about San Onofre, for some reason or another, you know, the question is, what's going on with these canisters, metal canisters buried in the sand with basically radioactive material in it? Has that effort stopped? I mean, have they stopped that? Is it still ongoing?
No, so it's currently the largest de facto nuclear waste site in the entire nation. It's 3.6 million pounds of nuclear waste, 100 feet away from the shoreline.
That's why we get glowing reports on the surf conditions.
Yeah, you know it. And the crazy thing is, the whole reason why the Nuclear Regulatory Commission came and had this meeting with our community is because when Southern California Edison was loading the canisters into the ground, they didn't realize it at first, but they found out that when they were putting the canisters in, each canister was getting scratched and or gouged when it was going into the ground. So you have, you know, all these canisters storing nuclear waste.
I'm shocked. I mean, moving large.
You shouldn't be. You shouldn't be.
Shocked. Moving large metal canisters and putting them against other abrasive surfaces. Yeah. I mean, it's a white glove delivery service. You're not supposed to have any scratches on it. I can't freaking deliver furniture without getting scratches on it through the door. I mean, And yet it seems so, like, the approach to that, like, unfortunately, a lot of stuff that we face almost seems Neanderthal. It almost seems like, you know, pre-industrial.
Yeah. I mean, it just, all you got to do is flip the script. Imagine that there's a nuclear power plant in, you know, in Russia, and they're loading canisters, and you hear some report.
Oh, wait,
on
hold
BBC.
On. Didn't that just happen like last week or the other?
They,
like,
did have a little issue.
Nuclear
they did
engine
have an issue.
That exploded?
Yeah, it was a nuclear engine that exploded. But it's the type of thing that you hear from out of a country that doesn't know what they're doing.
And they try to cover it up, too. So you were there. I mean, but you've been involved, I mean, with environmental issues way more before this meeting.
Yeah. Toll road, water quality, you know, our
how
beaches.
Long? I mean, you were a member of, didn't you form or were a member of the environmental club at the high school?
Yeah. Yeah. I founded an environmental organization that spread to 8 different chapters throughout the United States at different high schools.
With a membership of how much, do you remember? Like roughly?
Oh boy. At San Clemente, it was, I think we were close to 700 or 800, which is, I mean, that you're looking at about a quarter of the school right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Quarter of the school.
Yeah.
Which, if you take that as a sample of interest and things of concern, a quarter of the school was involved in environmental issues in San Clemente. You're such a socialist. You really are. I mean, you know, he's like, and you and all your, you know, quarter of the school friends in San Clemente that, you know, all comes from.
He's just social. He's not a socialist.
He's social. Oh, he's social. I mean, how do you get a quarter of the school to basically join a club? You got to be a social.
Right. Hey, I just want to.
Hold on, Paul. And for those who basically keep yapping about this thing about, you know, I posted a video saying, hey, any elected officials come on board. Mm-hmm. We're kicking off the show again. Jackson's going to be the first guest. I can't ignore that it's an election season coming up. And I got basically hammered with, you got to take that down because, you know, it's political and, you know, it's not right. And if you're going to post it, then we should tell everybody that Jackson is not even 20, has no experience, and is a socialist. I was kind of happy they didn't mention the prostitution support thing because, I mean, you know, breaking point for me. I couldn't go there, right?
Or the cannibalism.
Prostitution.
Because he looks like a young surfer, and it's well known that all surfers eat their dead. well known. No, I just want to
That's your generation, Paul.
I just want to seriously go back to the San Onofre thing because I don't live.
How old are you? Well, hold on. Oh. How old are you? I just want to. I mean, where are you on? In terms of 20?
Yeah. So they're pretty close. I'm turning 20 on the 15th of September. So we'll.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. 19.
I guess
teenager.
I guess you got to come up with something other than the age of 20 after that. Yeah. Like he just turned 20. I think maybe use that language after the 15th. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Paul. What were you asking?
For those who don't know, let's give me a quick recap about the San Onofre nuclear power plant. It's one of two in the state of California. It was decommissioned, what, a year or two ago?
No.
No. It was like back in 2012-ish.
Yeah. 2012, okay. And since then,
almost a decade ago.
They found out that they had, as I recall, we had somebody on years ago, so I may have this off a little bit, but somehow it had a projected lifespan. They did some work to it, and they thought it's going to have another 20 years, and they're going to keep it going because both Southern California Edison and San Diego Gas and
Electric
Company, SDGE, both had investments in it. It was a big supplier of electricity. It was clean. Everybody said because it's not using fossil fuels, and wow, what a great thing. And then they went in and did some sort of inspection of it and found out, oh my God, this thing is deteriorating rapidly.
Mm-hmm. They actually found there was they claim it was a contained nuclear waste leak on the inside.
One of the reactors, right?
Yeah, yeah. They claimed that it was contained, but it was a leak.
So they basically went from saying this got another 20 years or another extension of life to we're shutting it down.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, I think the world has forgotten about it.
By the way, reports paid for with taxpayer dollars for consultants. So, you know, you run your own.
It's the same as the TCA.
Yeah, just right. So I could see it, TCA, exactly. So what would you like my report to say? How much are you paying?
So since then, all the nuclear rods, the spent nuclear waste, the rods that got used up are still sitting there.
Yeah.
And aren't they sitting, like you're saying, they're just sitting in like, I don't know what these cans
metal
like.
Canisters
mm-hmm.
buried in ocean sand in a salt water table
mm-hmm. on, you know, super, super, super well-known fault line called the San Andreas fault line
right.
and next to a huge, high population, super dense area.
I mean, anybody who's ever lived anywhere near a coastline understands that there's no metal that survives corrosion on a balcony,
yeah, right?
I mean, it's maybe it's not as severe as a penny in Coca-Cola, but it is pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
And down there especially, I mean, we paint everything friggin' black because it corrodes. Wood handles better than metal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why has the world by and large, or the community by and large, moved on? It's shut down. We've forgotten about it.
And not everybody has forgotten about it.
Why aren't
you guys
people,
in Rancho Santa Margarita, maybe?
Oh, we have. Why aren't the people, because you're right next to it there, why aren't the people in San Clemente frightened, fearful, calling for action?
Here? You know, there are a lot of people who are doing that, and it's a tough issue to talk about because you're going up against a machine, going up against a lot of money. A lot of money that we paid them. We have $4 billion in our ratepayer fund that they're using for decommissioning. So we're going up against a big power. But fortunately, there's a lot of community level actions that we can take. And that's what I hope to bring. One of the things I hope to bring to city council, such as getting full time radiation monitoring there.
And I want to give a shout out to Congressman Mike Levin
mm-hmm.
for also taking a very strong leadership position on this particular issue.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks again, Mike, for being on the show last time. But I will tell you, it's really been. I voted for Mike, and that was he continues to prove to me that my vote was a correct one for him and how he has basically handled a lot of stuff. His transparency, his public access. I've had a couple of people. Harley Rudo is another person that was on, and I'm seeing it even on some of the people that are on city council, either incumbents or people that were running new. And I'm seeing this trend since the last election cycle. There has been a concerted effort by bills who have basically gotten into elected seats to be very transparent and open.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember the last time I have seen so many town hall meetings.
I think on our city council, though, we can take it a step further. We can try to match, you know, what you know, people on the federal level are doing in holding community gatherings and not only, you know, making ourselves accessible at public comment during a city council meeting for 3 minutes, but truly making ourselves accessible to the public.
So what other issues are burning bright in St. Clemente?
Well, before we go to that, Paul, I do want to, do we have an ad that we could run? Do you have like a Working Wardrobes ad or something like that? Okay, I'd like to run a Working Wardrobes ad. Shout out for my friend Jerry Rosen at Working Wardrobe, and congratulations on their new podcast that they're working on that is on YouTube. Anybody who is interested, just keep an eye out on that. Jerry Rosen is the host, and their show will be on the YouTube channel for Working Wardrobe. So let's run that, and we'll come back with Jackson Hinkle, who's running for city council for the second time. He's a freaking career candidate at this point, right? For the second time for the city of San Clemente. Let's do that, Paul. You got it?
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest. Hire.
I'm on the observation deck of the Empire State Building to demonstrate how much material Waste Management recycles. As North America's largest residential recycler, last year alone, Waste Management recycled 12.9 million tons. How much is that? Let's do the math. Carry the six. It's enough to fill this building more than 27 times. With experience like that, we're bound to have a program that can help your business recycle. Talk to Waste Management or visit thinkgreen.com.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. By 3, with triple points on airfare. By 2, with double points on gas and groceries. And a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
Okay, we're stumbling back on the air here to see where they're still talking. I'm trying to get them to turn their mics on.
I haven't listened to you for 4 years. I'm about to start listening to you.
I'm like, come on, let's go.
No, I'm finally getting comfortable in this seat, right?
Okay.
Sorry about the wiggle. I just can't help myself.
I got it.
All right, so
I left the question. I said, I don't live in San Clemente.
Hey,
I don't
Paul,
know what the burning
you don't
issues
have
are.
The video running, I don't think.
You're right. I don't know what the burning issues are.
Okay. So burning issues, shout out to Burning Man just recently. Was it last week?
Yeah, something like that.
Paul's just an old hippie, man. He's just, he's in the music scene. You knew that. But we were talking before the break with Jackson Hinkle, who's running for city council in San Clemente. This is his second attempt to run. Last time we came in within 3% of basically winning and a seat. And I wish I had, honestly, the drive and dedication that you have at a week away from 20, right? So kudos to you.
Thank you.
Right? I'm sure we will not agree on everything, just like I don't agree with everybody. I mean, I don't agree with Paul on everything. Right?
Mm-hmm. You're just a disagreeable person.
I am. I'm jaded, and and I will admit it. But we were talking about San Onofre. We were talking about Jackson's, track record on, advocating for sensible and healthy environmental solutions to
cannibalism.
And Paul has heard a rumor that Jackson is a cannibal, and so we even address that. This is the show. We address everything, including rumors that make no friggin' sense. But, if he's a cannibal, I want to know what his recipe book looks like, right? But we were talking about San Onofre. We were talking about nuclear waste. We were talking about, we have range, don't we? Nuclear waste.
Yeah,
power plants, cannibalism. I mean, we talk about it all, right? And how basically Jackson was involved in instrumental, actually, in forming an environmental group at the high school in San Clemente that then became multiple chapters with a lot of people, and about a quarter of the student body was involved in that effort. So those are future leaders, those are future voters in that community or wherever they choose to basically pursue their life, and they're engaged and active, which was the reason why. To be honest, when you guys came on for the first time, Jake, you and
a couple of other candidates that were running for city council under the Orange County Students for City Council banner that you guys had. The interesting thing for me was, if this is the future, and I'm jaded, man. I am jaded, right? I mean, I look at things and I go, the future is shit. The sky is falling. There's no good coming up, right? We're doomed. And then I come across people like you guys, and it's like, wait a minute. You're not even 19 at the time, or maybe you were just 19. I can't remember.
We're about there.
About 19, okay? And you're running for city council. You're engaged for years prior to that in advocating for, on issues. You know, I was reading comic books, you know, wondering what I was going to do for summer, right? I mean, it was it's actually very inspirational. And I wanted to make sure that I gave you guys the platform, because I think that, you know, we talk about it flippantly. Oh, the kids are our future. Well, here is the future playing out in front of me and Paul in this little room at OC Talk Radio. And here you are again. I mean, I would have put money on the table that you were like, okay, I'm done with that, right? No. I'm moving on, right?
No, here you are again. We got too many important issues.
Right. So let's talk about some of those issues. We've talked about environmental stuff. I know one big issue I definitely want to talk about, because it's not just limited to San Clemente, although we're sort of in the spotlight these days, right? But it's the issue of the homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a countywide, if not nationwide, issue. Mm-hmm. It's nothing new necessarily. We have a very heightened case of it right now. But why don't we talk about that? You're running for city council. That's an issue that comes up. There's also the issue of the toll road.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever else you guys want to talk about, I'm sure other things will come up. But why don't we talk about the homeless issue?
Yeah. So the homeless issue is extremely frustrating for someone like me, who for the past, you know, few years, I've been saying that we need to demand that the county fund a solution to this issue, because they have about somewhere between like 254 upwards of $500 million that
they've had
and they've hid that they could have used.
Well, they didn't know they had
until the state came through and did an audit.
I mean, I'm just going by the official quote.
Yeah.
We did not know we had it.
Lisa Bartlett.
Well, whoever it was. But, you know, I'm just saying that I kind of did one of these. Huh?
Yeah.
When I heard you did not know that you had $118
right?
million. You know,
how,
if there's grounds for firing in any job, is that you had resources that you were not. You lost $118 million on your books. How do you even do that?
And not only did they lose that money, they lost track of it.
Did any accountants get fired?
They lost track of it. Not only did they do that, but in the same time that they failed to allocate those funds, the homeless—
For a critical issue.
Critical issue.
That is in front of everybody's face who drives by the Santa Ana River.
Spiraling out of control the whole time.
Spiraling out of control.
Getting worse and worse and worse. So
why do you think, I mean, I'm not going to put my opinion on it. People mm-hmm. who know me know my opinion on this. But I'm going to ask you, you're on for city council. Okay. We got a problem. We've had a problem for a long time. We've had resources. I'm not picking on the supervisors per se, but okay, why? Why? What is the culture? What is the underlying reasons? Why, when we would have resources, financial resources to put towards this thing, okay, for so long we have seen and identified there's a problem. Visibility has literally physically grown in terms of the number of tents on the Santa Ana riverbed. Why would we bury our heads in the sand? Maybe not in a metal canister.
I think it's the county.
But why? Because elected officials do not do things without some reason.
Worry
about loss of seat, loss of vote.
Okay.
What is the reason?
It's really interesting, because if you talk to Lisa Bartlett and her team, they will tell you that, oh, we're happy to allocate the funds. We're happy to allocate the funds. Just come to us, tell us what you need, do that. But we've been at the table.
We've
been at the table.
Jackson, this is not even, I mean, I'm not picking on Lisa. You know, this is an
endemic. The county as a whole.
This is an endemic problem that has gone on for more than just one cycle of supervisors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think personally, and I think that the issue is far more pronounced than ever before, though. I think we can agree on that.
Yeah.
And I think that potentially when you have this money and you're letting this issue spiral out of control, you're creating, you know, a less safe environment for both homeowners and people who are homeless. It's hard to look at a situation like that and also understand the fact that the Orange County Board of Supervisors, they are not big fans of the city of San Clemente, because we don't want a toll road through our town. And it's hard to understand all those different factors and not come to the conclusion that they're playing games. They're playing politics. They don't.
Yeah, you know, I hear you. I think I definitely could make the same assumptions relevant to, you know, San Clemente being picked on in this capacity, and they're dumping the homeless over there, which I don't know.
I'm not saying that.
Yeah, but so there's some people that basically have these wild hair assumptions about.
I don't think it's that wild.
I don't think anybody dumped per se homeless in San Clemente.
I thought you meant what I.
No,
just
but
said.
There are people out there basically saying, you know, we're being targeted because we're against the supervisor's support for the TCA and particular people who are benefiting some of their supporters and consultants. There's a problem with the homeless issue. It's been around in the United States. You don't believe me? Go Google it. Since day one, okay? We have been facing it in Orange County for a number of reasons, including increase in cost of living.
Yeah.
You know, people, you know what the largest population of homeless is in terms of growth? It's seniors and families.
Mm-hmm.
It's not individuals that are hooked up on drugs,
mm-hmm.
okay? Seniors are one medical bill away from basically the razor's edge,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And if you can't get yourself to understand that there is a humanity factor of being there for I am my brother's keeper. We support each other. Right. And we have to do something, not necessarily because it's an end solution, but because there is a need to kind of buffer some of this negative
yeah.
impact. Look at what's happening with the hurricane
mm-hmm.
right now.
Mm-hmm.
Devastation. OK, is anybody going to say, no, we are not going to provide shelter in the closest possible location to anybody who's coming off the Georgia coastline
yeah.
or Florida coastline.
I hear you. And I think
there's parallels. There's a human factor.
So there's contributing factors to homelessness. And then there's the other side of it as to why hasn't it been addressed yet? Why has it spiraled out of control? So I think you're right. The contributing factors to homelessness are high cost of living, one of the highest in the whole nation here.
Yes.
But
we're not going to do any rent control. We're not going to do any kind of assistance of any kind of nature. Every time somebody says, what's the term for that kind of housing? We had a project in San Clemente. I'm blanking right now. Subsidized housing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or something of that nature. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The minute you say that word, it basically, or assisted housing. The minute you say that word, it's almost like you said, I'm building a squatter town. I'm building, projects, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't want it in our own backyard.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, while we are sitting there talking about how the supervisors need to basically build a regional homeless shelter, while we're doing that, okay, and we're going back and forth and playing politics, there are people that on a daily basis are negatively impacted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. On both sides.
On both sides.
Yeah. And I think to that point, looking at what other solutions we can
yeah
look
what
into
would you do about
what,
you get elected into office. I understand that again, here's sort of what I started talking about. I didn't finish. People run for city council.
Uh-huh.
I have seen this cycle upon cycle upon cycle. If you're sitting in the seat, you're a target. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you haven't done. The person running for your seat or gunning for you,
mm-hmm.
and they and their supporters are going to find every possible reason to point a finger and say, you didn't do this, you cost the city that, you didn't, you fell short X, mm-hmm. fill in the blank. And you will do that to varying degrees of success, and in some cases, you will get elected. And now you will be sitting in that chair, and guess what will happen? There'll be another group of people that comes around and plays exactly the same playbook and points the finger and da-da-da-da-da. Because when you're outside and you're not sitting in the seat, you don't realize the actual limitations
mm-hmm.
and powers that you have able
yep.
to do and not able to do in that seat. But when you're in it, now you got to play by those rules
yeah.
and regulations.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, you are running for city council.
Yeah.
Let's assume you get elected to city council.
Uh-huh.
What on the issue of homeless do you think practically you can do?
So to say it shortly, I think that we need to unite our South County cities, specifically at least San Juan, Dana, and San Clemente,
yeah.
and demand that the county fund a South County regional solution to homelessness. And I think that can look like a number of different things.
Where are you going to put that? Nobody wants it in their own backyard.
I don't think it needs to be one place only. And I think that most importantly, we need to discuss the possibility of holding something on county land, because in the same way that the city of San Clemente had to identify an SB2 mm-hmm. zone for a shelter,
which is state law.
Correct. State law, and the county
has forever to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. But the county's supposed to do that as well, and they have yet to do that yet. So they have yet to allocate funds.
Wait, so let me get this straight, Jackson. The county that is holding San Clemente accountable for the homeless thing and not basically acting is also in violation of the SB.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and I think I also want to add on to that point and the point of what I bring to this to council as a whole. You look at the people who are on council currently. It's a number of different people with different backgrounds. You know, you have concerned residents, you have, you know, community leaders, you have an attorney, mm-hmm. all bring different, really good perspectives to council. The perspective that I would hope to bring is someone who seeks to live here for the rest of my life, you know, raise my own family here, but specifically the perspective of a community organizer, someone who's been working on these issues forever and who's gotten stuff done. I helped lead the movement to get solar panels on 6 high schools in Capistrano Unified School District, save the district $849,000 annually. And I think if you look at...
A fiscally conservative socialist.
Right? Yeah. Whatever they want to call me. But right. If you look at my track record of getting things done, and I have many things listed out on my website of what I've done for this community, you look at that and say, you know, he has the ability to organize his community. And I said it at the beginning of the show, it's not just me running this campaign.
Which last time I looked in San Clemente, we used to pride ourselves on the fact.
Yeah.
And I have said it many, many times. I would rather live in a town that is over-engaged than one that's under-engaged. And mm-hmm. if you don't believe me, just go up the coast a couple of cities, mm-hmm. right?
But I think there's people who are trying to divide us right now.
Well, yeah. And there have always been people who have tried to divide us.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the majority of us are smart enough to see it and not fall for it.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be a vocal minority of people. They're basically going to, for whatever their agenda or their personal interest or, you know, special interests are, they're going to do it. And that's fine. I mean, I've seen enough election cycles in San Clemente to basically be able to see, oh, look, hold on. Wait, hold on.
Yep.
Somebody's going to announce? Okay, here's what's going to happen. I used to say to people, I can sit in city council, okay, order a pizza, and before, just look at the agenda and tell you who's going to vote which way.
Yeah.
Okay. If that's the case, okay, it's not a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what you're proposing is adding mm-hmm. another layer of advocacy and focus.
Yeah.
On and hey, shout out to Dan Bain. He's a person that's
he's
been
putting
on the
in
show
a lot of work
and is a friend and he brings a very much needed layer of expertise and mm-hmm. professionalism mm-hmm. to this thing relevant to what he does for a living.
Yeah.
Sarah Ferguson basically is a friend. Laura Ferguson. Why did I say Sarah Ferguson is in LA? Okay, never mind. Laura Ferguson. Sorry, Laura. Is a friend. And I also believe that her work and involvement with the city and sort of that background behind the scenes also gives her a special skill set that she brings to that. So the idea of diversity and variety, oh my God, two magic words that, you know, seemingly are an anathema for some people, is something that's really important, I think, in any group of people making decisions for the rest of us.
Yeah, because like you said, it's one thing to be able to go up to the dais and take a vote, you know, a few times here and there throughout your term, but it's another thing to say, not only am I going to stand here for the votes with my community, but I'm going to organize day in and day out and fight for things like stopping the toll road, abolishing the TCA, bringing back a hospital, addressing homelessness.
Well, basically putting a target on your back and continuously, and because there's always going to be somebody who's going to disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
But if your concern of being in the seat is to hold the seat regardless of what, then you're not really doing your job. I mean, you got elected to basically do a job.
Yeah.
And some people do it better than others. Unfortunately, with our political system, it's like, you know, seems like almost day one after you get elected, the first thing that's concerning is now getting basically reelected.
Yeah.
What? So give me some parameters. How many people are running? When's the election? I'm assuming it's next fall.
And the reason why, because
it's November.
It's this November.
Ah, okay.
But because it's a special election in San Clemente.
Yeah.
Because of the passing of our mayor, Steve Schwartz.
I didn't realize all that. So
yeah, so it's this November 5th.
Yeah, we'll have another cycle of interesting things going on.
Don't worry.
We're so engaged in San Clemente. We have election cycles between election cycles.
Yeah. It's this November 5th. Ballots are going to get, it's going to be an all vote by mail election. So there's going to be no polling places. You're going to get a ballot mailed to you around October 7th, October 10th. And you just send it back in and that's it. So I think it's super important that people get out and vote because it's probably going to be a low voter turnout.
How many people running for how many spots?
Five candidates for one spot.
Five candidates.
Okay. I want to take this opportunity right here and say, listen, anybody else, any of the other four that are running, reach out. But do it quick because we do fill up.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
Right now I've got a bunch of spots. For October, I believe October is a five Wednesday is a 5 week month, so I can accommodate one more than usual. But call me and let's get you on. And even if I have to go to half hour sessions and basically get two people on, more than happy to do it because I think the more we know, the more chance we get to basically sit down organically instead of just basically canned questions and answers, the more we're going to get a sense of who it is that we're basically electing.
I love that you're doing that because I think. We joke like we have so many elections, but there are really good conversations that come out of these elections. And
the minute we stop having conversations, and Paul and I talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
The minute we stop having conversations is the minute we basically just start going downhill.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if the topics are difficult, and we've talked about hospice, we've talked about end of life, we've talked about all kinds of stuff, dementia, you know, falls, elected official. I mean, I'm not putting dementia and elections in the same, but basically we've talked about tough stuff and we don't shy away from where the conversation takes us, where the journey, where the road goes, we go.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't just, we stop doing that as a society, we don't start talking, and we don't talk really. I mean, if you think about information and communication and all this stuff, text messages, personal emails, instant messenger, we don't really communicate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We may disagree at the end of the day, but the actual exercise of discussion is critical.
Yeah. Yeah.
How does the city break down? I picture San Clemente as kind of a sleepy town by the sea, not as on the radar screen as, I don't know, Laguna Beach or something.
Come down from the hills of Francis Santa Margarita every once in a while.
But I would think, and I'm just totally guessing, so correct me where I'm wrong.
How the hill people see us.
Is there a split between the Talega, the growth on the one east side of the freeway? Do they think differently than the old town folks that have been there since Ole Hansen started it?
It's a very good question, right? Because it might have been historically the case, but I don't see that so much anymore.
I think the split is coming, and I said it earlier in the show, I think the split is coming from people who are supporting those who are taking outside money, and then the other side of the split are people who are, you know, born and raised. I'm the only candidate in this election out of all five
born
of us who's born and raised.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's a qualifying factor, but I think it should be taken into account.
I disagree, and I'll tell you why. Okay, and this is something that I have been observing. It's not necessarily towards San Clemente or to you or other candidates, but here's the unintended consequence of out of reach living costs, rent. Okay, we have people that basically are born and raised in communities. This is a problem across anywhere which is affluent. Okay, born and raised in communities. These are people that have a vested interest in their blood on a daily basis growing up in that community.
Mm-hmm.
They know it inside out. They know the good, the bad, the ugly, the alleyways, the beaches. You know, they are instinctively wired for that community. Then they get out of college or get out of high school, and they can't afford to live in that community because of the cost of living. So they move. You used to say that the seniors move to the desert. Now it's the young people that move to the desert, right? They move.
Mm-hmm.
They leave. The only people that can afford to move into those communities are not the people who bought their houses 30 years ago and basically now are just sitting on that as a reverse mortgage potential to pay off for their senior years, right? They move. So who moves in? People who are affluent enough can move closer to the ocean, in our case, right, San Clemente or Laguna or whatever you want to do, Newport Beach. They move from the inland areas. They don't have a connection with the community.
No.
I'm not picking on them. They just don't. They don't have the experience of being in the community. Mm-hmm. They don't have the wherewithal about the nuances that make that culture in that community unique. And in places like San Clemente, places like Balboa, places like Seal Beach, there's a uniqueness. Anybody who has lived there long enough knows.
We haven't sold out.
We haven't. Well, and there's, but there's a flavor.
Yeah.
That you get only a patina to that community, right? And they're not aware of it. They don't know about it. They may not immerse in it. All right. So now they're the ones who are living there. They're the ones that are now basically running for office. And now you got people that are in office that don't have a legacy or a historical connection to the culture and underculture of that community. Okay. When we don't step up and look at our young people that are born and raised in our communities and cultivate them in terms of leadership potential, in terms of possible entrepreneurship opportunities and incubators. Long Beach is doing a great job with their entrepreneurship incubators. Mm-hmm. There's examples of what works, right? And keeping them in town, rent control, affordable housing, okay? Horrible affordable housing. I'm going to bring in all the squatters and the homeless people. No, you're basically going to provide a stepping stone for your own children that are born and raised in those communities to basically continue to be of service and value to the community as they get older. Here's a gentleman right here basically telling you he wants to raise a family in that community.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And again,
and like I said, it's not limited to San Clemente.
And it's,
this is a problem.
Yeah. And it's not to say that someone who just moves here can't have a good idea about our town,
to improve it. No, I mean,
But look, I hear you.
Well, no. Exactly. And I'm all welcome for input and ideas, but why are we losing that knowledge base? You don't fire somebody in a company or basically let them walk out of the door when they basically have an experience base, okay, in what your operation is and how you basically do things.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So I will tell you, like I've said to other people, one of the things I personally would like to see elected officials at city council level across the board, okay, in communities that are high cost of living, is to actually think about how do you basically engage entrepreneurship?
Yeah.
How do you engage a city-driven effort to connect people that are retirees with knowledge base in that community with young people that could become entrepreneurs? Not everybody's going to go to college.
No. We have a wealth of knowledge when it comes to, business owners in our community.
But take a leadership role as city to actually connect the dots, because you are going to benefit very much. Plus, in a lot of these cases where we have been working on an economic engine that is real estate based, guess what? We're built out.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to think a little bit outside the box about your next economic future.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Okay, and I promise you we would talk about this as well, but let's talk about the TCA and the toll road.
Yeah, I think it's a big issue this election, and I actually saw a poll in one of the Facebook groups recently, local Facebook groups, saying that was people's most important issue in this election. Again, I think as with every recent election, but I think it's really important. Obviously, I do not support a toll road. That goes without saying. It's on my yard signs.
I don't know anybody on either side, by the way. People that are attacking you, people that are basically, that stood shoulder to shoulder. I think one of the issues that San Clemente is unified on is not wanting the toll road running through our city.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I have it on my signs, because I feel as though I have been a vocal opponent to that toll road for many years now.
But you really like putting a target on your back, don't you?
I do. But here's the thing. When it comes to the issue of the toll road, it's much bigger than just the SR 241 extension. It's much bigger than that.
It is.
It's much bigger than the 73, which the TCA promised was going to be a free road years ago. It's bigger than the fact that the TCA needs to pay down their bonds. It's bigger than, the budgetary malfeasance that they have, they have had over the past few years, and that was brought up through that big LA Times article a few months back, and we all went and spoke about it at the TCA board meeting.
Yeah.
It's bigger than all of that. It's bigger. It's the fact that the TCA hasn't built a new road since 1996.
Shout out to that reporter
story.
That's a great story. Write up.
Yeah. Then and they're $6 billion in debt. And I think anyone who's taking, and I'm talking about candidates at this point, I'm going to be very frank. Anyone who's taking money from people who are friends of the TCA should not serve on our city council or support from Friends of the TCA. And I don't say that because I think that those candidates are going to, you know, support a toll road. I say that because I don't think those candidates are going to do the work to abolish the TCA, which is what needs to happen.
Well, if somebody pays you, you can't basically be expecting me to accept the fact that you will hold a position against them later.
Yeah.
You're basically
because,
bought.
And no one's going to be, you know, silly enough to say that they support a toll road. But if they're not asked the right question, I think that question is, will you support the abolishment of the TCA? Then they're not going to bring it up ever.
So I'm going to ask you a question specifically to that, because I know it's something that is almost like a go-to boogeyman situation in San Clemente. Has been for a number of years. And I'm not necessarily a fan of the gentleman, right? But there are those who accuse you of basically being in the camp of Charles Mann and being supported by that what they refer to as a cabal.
Yeah, yeah.
So what do you say to those who basically accuse you of that?
I think it's funny because I think it was 2 or 3 days ago, I posted something about my Orange County firefighters endorsement. And I had all these people commenting, blah, blah, blah. You're accepting support. You're getting paid or, you know, funded by Charles Mann and his group of cronies. I'm not taking money from Charles Mann. Anyone that says that is, you know, they're making things up.
Well, it's an easy target. It's an easy foil.
I
don't know, for those of us who don't know, I don't know who that is.
Charles Mann is a gentleman that basically is a developer. He, a number of years ago, was involved in some project in San Juan. He lived in San Clemente. I'm not sure if Charles still lives in San Clemente or not. Fine enough gentleman. He basically supported a slate of candidates for city council, and he was also against their efforts basically ended up killing the Playa del Norte project that was in North Beach eventually, and which I was in support of the Playa del Norte project and Gene Sadeghi's efforts there.
I always think is interesting because he's a developer, but he's against development.
Well, because it was an issue of control, in my personal opinion.
Well, yeah.
And influence.
Local politics.
As is local politics. But I will say this, okay? Don't make broad brushstrokes of affiliation about people, because you really don't know. I mean, I've been accused of all kinds of stuff, and anybody who knows me knows well enough that that's not true. And for those who don't and are basically willing to just try to label me, have at it. I really don't care if your opinion about me. I know where I stand on things, and anybody
you know your values.
Well, and I will talk about issues, and we'll talk about people. I am not going to be basically leaning one way or the other. And I may have positions on two topics that basically, I do not vote party. I vote issues and people. I am non-party preferenced and I have been for over 10 decades. Okay? Anybody who comes at me from a biased position one
over
way or the 10
other. 10 decades? That's 100
sorry,
years.
Sorry, 10 decades. For over a decade.
I didn't
sorry,
even catch that.
Wow, you're old.
Yes, I'm old. Yes, it's an old show. It's getting older by a minute. But honestly, okay? This platform right here, okay, you're going to get my honest opinion and take on what you're sharing, and we're going to have a discussion.
Yeah.
Okay? Prove to me that my opinion and position at the moment is not correct, and I will basically adjust it. But to expect me to basically just adjust my position and you are not willing to basically share with me why, when I am willing to tell you chapter and verse where I come from to get to that point, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm not going to buy that. So with that being said, because we're out of time here, I just want to again publicly extend a hand and an invitation to anybody who's running for elected office in this election cycle and the one coming up in 2020. Okay? Because campaigns start now anyway, right, for 2020. Come on board. You know, reach out to me. We'll get you on. And somebody asked me earlier if somebody else, specifically running for city council in San Clemente, if they came on, because I said, hey, I've extended it 3 times. I've said, come on on, you know, and basically they were too busy basically just wanting to badger me, right? Would you wear the T-shirt? Here's my promise. Anybody who's running for city council in San Clemente, anybody who's running for elected office in Orange County or further, but happens to be in Orange County, you're running in Georgia and you happen to be visiting Orange County, bring me a t-shirt. It's a large. I wear a large. Okay. Get it to me a little bit, a couple of minutes before the show at least.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I will wear your t-shirt.
Yeah.
Just because I'm endorsing Jackson does not mean that I will not give a platform for anybody who's running. The more conversations we have, the more in-depth that we have, the better we all are.
Yeah. And it's okay if your shirt doesn't look as cool as mine also. That's fine too.
Wait a minute. he gave me the reject from that?
I just want to know if those red lines
I actually like it.
No, I said it's okay if the other candidates as mine.
Yes, even if your shirt doesn't look as good as this.
Yeah.
I just want to know if those red
Do me a favor, right? Let's challenge this guy, right? Get me a better looking t-shirt and I'll wear it.
I just want to know if the red lines at the bottom are blood stains from your cannibalism or not here.
That's TCA blood stains.
Oh, that's the road that will never run. Okay. Those scholars will not run. TCA scholars will never run through San Clemente. And I will add one more layer, okay? I will basically, if you sign it, I will wear it and then I'll put it aside and we'll basically come back and count the number of t-shirts we have after the election.
I like that idea.
Okay.
Like that.
Thank you for being here, Jackson.
Hey, thank you.
I appreciate you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only octalkradio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.